This morning, I'm actually going to share with you a little bit about my journey with health and a bit of my story along that path. God's been really speaking to me about health recently, over recent years, and I just really want to share with you the journey that I've been on and what I believe that God is saying through that. So to start off with, I'm just going to cover a history of where I've come from health. I've been fascinated with health for a really, really long time. I grew up in a home that didn't have, I wasn't in church or anything like that, but I did pray, and whenever I heard an ambulance or anything like that, I would actually pray for people who were in the ambulance. So it's just something would stir in me that I'd be like, actually, it's not right that people are sick, or that somebody's life might be in danger. And growing up, I had this dream that I wanted a health farm. And for me, because I was natural thinking, I wasn't sort of in church, or I didn't know anything about God or what God's plan was, that looked like a health farm that you would see where you have massage and facials and things like that. And that's the route I took as I was as I left school. I was desperate to be a beauty therapist, and that kind of went down the drain. I didn't get on very well with touching people, which is a bit weird. I have actually had ministry for that, and it was generational, so I'm no longer like that. But at the time, I did hamper my plans somewhat, so and I was a bit lost. But then, years ago now, about 8 years ago, God really revitalized that dream, and so that's still a potential, and that's still waiting to be fulfilled. But despite my fascination with health and my desire to see people living healthy, I wasn't very well myself. I had allergies that I'd grown up with, had asthma. When I was a baby, I was taken back into hospital and on a breathing machine, a ventilator, and allergic to cats and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And then when I was 18, they thought that I had the start of ME, which is now known as chronic fatigue syndrome. And so I sort of was battling that for a while and managed to overcome, but not through anything that I did myself, because I didn't actually have a clue at the time. But then between 2008 and 2010, I actually became really quite unwell. We'd just done the Race for Life, and I really struggled as I was just training to run. I say run, but I mean sort of like walk and walk, rather than, you know, like really jogging. But I just struggled with being able to do my training, and on the day I really struggled. I was in a lot of pain, and I didn't really know what to do with it. So I sought God for healing, and it was around the time that we started this supernatural journey that we're on at the moment. Mike had done this 40-day fast, so he'd blogged it all, and I was following that, and I was using that, his testimonies of stepping into heaven, to really seek God for healing and looking at how do I apply that to my situation, really trying to get on top of my health. During that time, I had ministry, I had prayer, I had people praying for me. I was just like, it was just a constant journey, but progressively I got worse and worse and worse. During that time, I became introverted. I was in so much pain that it actually kind of makes you focus in on yourself, because all I could think of was, how could I get through the day? So I wasn't thinking of others particularly, other than actually I'm in so much pain, I don't know how to get through my day. So I was pushing through and I was doing my best to work and doing my best to concentrate, and I was working here at the time, but actually I really was half there, really, because most of the time I was in pain and not concentrating. So after a lot of tests at the hospital and being poked and prodded, and I didn't particularly like going to hospital, they offered me an operation, and I really didn't want an operation. I knew in my heart that God heals. I know that that's possible. I'd seen people healed. I've heard of people. There's testimonies all over the world of God healing people, and I wanted that for myself. But that didn't happen. So it took a long while before I actually decided that I would have the operation. It must have been almost a year that I decided that actually I'll go for it. And I was having a lot of ministry, and it got to the stage where I was engaging God, and I was being mentored, and we stepped in, and God said, it's up to me. I can have the operation or I cannot have the operation. And I was at such a state where I just thought, actually, I don't know where to go from here. I felt like I'd tried everything that he'd shown me to try. I'd done everything I'd known to do, but still I wasn't really making much progress. So I decided to have the operation. It was in April 2011. And I was disappointed that I had to have the operation, or felt that that was my only option. But then I also was traumatized by the operation. So when I came out of the operation, I was in a lot of pain, and the surgeons didn't know what was wrong with me. The nurses didn't know what was wrong with me. They didn't know what to do with me, basically. So it was a really difficult time. But afterwards, my recovery was slow, but I did gradually get back on my feet. I wasn't in pain, but generally I was still feeling a bit pants, to be truthful. So about this time, a few people in the church started a sugar-free, healthy eating plan. Now, that was just such an alien concept to me, the idea that not to have sugar was just like, seriously? You need ministry. But I was fascinated by it, because I just looked at it and just thought, actually, there's something, I couldn't do that. I know that I couldn't manage that. Because my diet was poor. It consisted of sugar and more sugar. I'd start off with cereal, which was probably muesli or something like that. And yes, I did add sugar to it. Already it had loads of sugar, but I added sugar to it. Then I would get up and get into work, and it would be like, oh, 11sies, what shall I have? So maybe I popped a Lidl and get a packet of biscuits and a couple maple and pecan plats, because they do really nice ones. And if Phil was in the office, I might share a maple and pecan plat with him. And if he wasn't, I'd eat them both. And then I'd have lunch. And then I'd have dessert. And then on the way home, I would probably call into B&M and get some Snickers or something like that. And I'd eat it on the way home. And if I bought a packet of them, then I'd have another one when I got home. Because I got home and I was having a cup of tea, and you had to have chocolate with tea. And then I'd have a meal, and then I'd have dessert, because you do, or I did. That was my diet, and you know, to say that it was poor is an understatement. So I really could not believe that it was possible to live without sugar, and that anyone would even want to try, to be truthful. I had in the past tried to decrease eating it. I'd get up in the morning and I'd say, right, no biscuits, at least until the afternoon. And then I'd get to like like mid-morning, and I'd be like, I really need something sweet. I cannot go any further without anything sweet. So, and I would, seriously, I'm not joking here, I would think nothing of going over and getting a pack of fruit shortcake and eating the whole packet. Or at least sort of maybe leave a few in there so I didn't feel quite so bad that I'd finished the packet. But, you know, near as done, it was, I'd eat the lot. And to be truthful, it's a wonder I wasn't the size of a bus. It was only because I metabolized quite quickly that I wasn't the size of a bus, although I was bigger than I am now. So my problem was that my diet was full of processed food and sugar. I didn't eat really anything healthy. I'd buy fruit and it would sit in the fruit bowl and then I'd sort of throw it out, but then I'd still keep buying it because it made me feel like I was buying something healthy. So I was addicted to sugar. That was my situation, and I really didn't believe I could stop, which was why I was so fascinated that someone would actually choose to stop eating it. So I had a sweet tooth, seriously. The problem was I was an emotional eater, so everything related to food, everything was like, I've had a good day. Hey, let's go and get something nice. Let's get a Chelsea bun. Or I've had a bad day. Ooh, let's reward myself and pick myself up with something nice from Lidl. Let's get a Chelsea bun. So it didn't matter what the situation was. I would eat to make myself feel better or reward myself for having had a good day. So if I did exercise, that was a really good one. I was just like, I could have ice cream, I could have all sorts because I'd done something good. So my answer was just, you know, just have some more sugar. And, you know, I didn't choose the healthy option. I never chose the healthy option. I never ate sugar, ate salads. I would, if we went out for dinner, I would look at the dessert menu first and make my decision of what I ate for my main meal based on how fattening or how heavy the pudding was. So if it was like sticky toffee pudding, then I might have something light. So yeah, I know. So a year after I'd been sort of like witnessing this concept of a sugar-free diet, in me, nothing had changed. I was still carrying on how I had been carrying on. I was just, you know, like, you know, I didn't eat all the pies, but I definitely ate all the biscuits, that's for sure. So at this stage, I was seeking God. I still really, I'd recovered from the operation, but was still feeling yucky, lethargic, tired. But, you know, my behaviour hadn't changed. I was, you know, I was in the same place. So I was asking God for healing at this point. And this is where I started to feel like I had some revelation. He said that he could heal me, but if I carried on abusing myself and treating myself like that and just like eating junk and not looking after myself, I would just end up in the same state that I was already in. Which... you know, it sucks to hear that, to be truthful. But by this time, I was desperate. I was getting to the point of, I have to do something. I cannot live my life like this. So he said to me, it was time to take responsibility, which was a bit freaky. But I really could not do that by myself. I had tried. I really had. You know, I would get up in the morning and think, I won't eat it. And then I did. It was just like, and, you know, then you beat yourself up because it's like, I decided this morning that I wasn't going to, and then I'd made it till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock and I'd messed up already. And so there was this cycle of, oh, I want to, but I couldn't. And so then I'd beat myself up and I'd feel worse, and then I'd go and have something nice because I felt bad. So the only thing, the only option that was open to me was to ask God for help. I really could not do it myself, and I actually said to him, you need to change me. If this is what you want me to do, you have to change me because I cannot do it. So at that time, I was given this book by Alice called Donuts and Temples, and it was written by a nutritionist called Erica White, and she described a lot of symptoms that I'd experienced. And in this book, she shares her testimony and talks about the journey that she'd been on, and she says about the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to look after it and not abuse it. I found out from this book that I had what is known as a yeast infection or candida, and I'd probably been born with it because I'd had it for so long. The symptoms that I'd had as a baby were an indication that there was a problem there, but my mum has since been diagnosed with it as well, so it's been confirmed that I was born with it. And my diet of sugar had just fed it and fed it and fed it to the point of it was out of control, and so it had grown to the point of it invaded my whole body, and I was poorly. It's also likely, highly likely, that the yeast infection had caused the illness that I then had to go and have an operation for. So by this time, I'm feeling a bit like, flip, what was all that about? Because I'd sought God, I'd been seeking God for healing, and yet now he's showing me that actually this had contributed to the fact that I'd been so poorly and ended up having an operation. My high sugar diet was the cause of my lethargy, my fatigue, my just feeling unwell, all the intolerances that I had, asthma, that kind of thing. So during this time, God led me through this process of learning more about the situation I was in, a lot more about the harmful effects of sugar and what it does to the body, and what I was doing to my body, what I was actively choosing to do to myself by just throwing junk in there. He actually forced me to confront it. It's just like wherever I went, there it was. So there was no getting away from it. And, you know, I was really quite good at hiding. But it was just, he really pursued me on this and made me confront it. There was nowhere I could go. So, I learned a lot about my immune system and how I destroyed my immune system. I learned about how that then, you know, opens you up for all sorts of illnesses and sickness. And that's where I was. So at this, you know, through this process, he broke down my excuses to the point of, you know, I cannot know this and continually behave the way I behave. I have to do something about it. So he got me to the stage where I said, okay, yes, I'll do this. I will do this. So then I looked into it more and discovered that the way to deal with it was to go on a really strict diet. So whole foods only, no processed food, no dairy, no wheat. I could have whole wheat if I wasn't sensitive to it, but so no dairy, no wheat, no pork, which meant for me no bacon, just no sugar. Nothing that converts to sugar that quickly in your body was I allowed. It had to be whole foods and it had to be healthy, loads of green stuff. It's just like, and if you go through and look at packets of stuff, you will not believe what they put sugar in. It's like, I cannot get anything from the deli counter. And you think, you look at it and you think they've cooked stuff, but they put sugar on it. They put sugar in it. They put sugar in ketchup. They put sugar in mayonnaise. They put sugar in pickle, obviously, and chutneys. Obviously, that's made with sugar. Just anything that you can think of had sugar in it. But not only that, I had to avoid things with mold on. So I couldn't have cheese. I couldn't have fungus, so that ruled out mushrooms, and I loved mushrooms. So like Saturday morning breakfasts were out the window. It was like no bacon, no pork sausages, and the only thing I was left with was egg. And I still eat eggs, so that's okay. So at this juncture, I was like, oh God, well, I'll do it for a year. It's like, you know, it's like, this is going to be tough. I'll do it for a year and maybe two max. Unless, you know, I'll give it my best shot. And and he didn't really go for that. So he really got me to make that choice where it's like, okay, I will do whatever it takes for however long it takes to get well. And just to make sure I meant it, I'm still 3 years in, or almost 4 years in, and well, I'm still in the process. I'm still really not that far down the line, because there's stuff that he's had to change in me as part of this process. But I decided, and that in itself was a miracle, because if you look back a year, it had only gone from a year of looking at somebody who was not having sugar to the point of like, I will do whatever it takes, when I'd been addicted to sugar all my life. It's like I grew up on, like, you know, I learned how to self-medicate with sugar from my mum. It was just a pattern that I had, and that I lived it for 40 years, so or over 40 years. So mid-November 2014, I started a program to rid myself of candida. And, you know, several people said to me, Flip, just before Christmas, are you mad? And I was like, actually, God changed me so much that I got to the stage where it's like, actually, I don't want that anymore. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it now. I made a quality decision and I was like, I'm going to do it. Now, that caused a bit of a problem because Nigel cooks dinner, so he had to come up with all sorts of recipes that I could eat that didn't involve sugar and all the whole other list of things that, you know, I was no longer able to eat, but we managed it. So God gave me the courage and the faith to do that. He really, really changed me during that year because I was willing to be changed. And miraculously, when I stopped, the day I stopped, I did not crave sugar. It was weird. I mean, looking back on it, it was weird. At the time, I was just relieved. But I did not crave sugar at all. I stopped. And that was it. It was like, I could look at it, and even now I can look at sugary things, and I have this kind of like, oh yeah, that looks nice, and I appreciate that it looks nice, but I do not want it at all. Now, if you put a bag of crisps in front of me, that's a different story, but... So, I'm 3 years in. It's been a bumpy journey. Initially, I got worse. I got much worse, because what happens when you starve yeast is that it grows, because it sends out spores and it tries to reproduce to stop itself from dying. And so it spread really quickly and I became really ill. The asthma flared up to the point that they were saying to me, you have to take some steroids. And I really didn't want to take steroids because that contributes. So I was really on a difficult place with that. So I contacted the nutritionist and she provided some supplements for me, which helped to combat that. And the moment I started taking what she recommended and following it properly, that then made a massive difference, and the asthma reduced down. And I hardly take my Ventolin now at all. I do still have a preventative, and until God tells me to stop my preventative, I will keep going. But so, you know, I've had to use wisdom in this process. But I've listened to him. But this journey that I've been on the past 3 years has not just been about my physical health. It's actually been about my spirit and my soul. But because I was self-medicating, my soul was involved. And this is one of my favourite scriptures. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. And to me, that really speaks of the connection between our physical health and our soul. And it's so interconnected, we can't separate it. So we prosper in all areas of our lives when our souls prosper. And that does include our physical bodies. So our souls are most at ease and at rest when our spirits are in charge and we connect to his spirit and it flows through our spirit into our soul. And through this process, he has helped me to do that. He's helped me to see what was going on in my soul. So what was driving the need for sugar to self-medicate to make myself feel better? Because I was filling an emotional need. I was self-medicating, I was happy, I'd eat, I was sad, I'd eat. You know, it was just this cycle of any excuse, really. But I'm not the only one in the world that does this. It's like we all self-medicate with something. We all use something to heal the pain of our brokenness. So, you know, we've all got a history, we've all got a story to tell. It could be something that's happened generational, it could be as we've grown up. You know, some people's stories are more horrific than others, but we're all in this process of knowing how to, or learning how to cope with life and the things that life throws at us. And, you know, mine was trying to make myself feel better with what I was eating. To heal my brokenness, to stuff something in the hole, really. On this process, and since I've been in this church, you know, the only thing that can really do that is God, because he fills that hole completely. Whereas we can try to use all sorts of other stuff to fill that hole, to make ourselves feel better, to heal the pain and the damage and the things that have affected us. You know, it's just like it can be anything. It's like not fitting in or being self-conscious. It can be having a poor self-image. It could be poor mental health, poor physical health, any of those things. We'll trigger us to behave in a certain way. So he has helped me to change the way I think about myself. So I no longer need to eat to make myself feel better. I no longer need to self-medicate to fill that hole. And I'm still on a journey. I'm not saying that I'm fixed by any stretch. Anybody who knows me will know that's the truth. But I am actually on a journey and I am willing to go there. And there's no areas that I won't, that aren't open for God to say, you need to deal with that. But I know that I'm his daughter, and I know that if he is with me and he is in me, then I can do it. Because believe me, if I can give up sugar, I know that I can go other places as well. But what does my previously poor diet habits have to do with us here as a church? Because we know at the moment, we're in a process, since 2010, God has been taking us on this journey of having a deeper relationship with him. And, this has helped me, as I've said, along the way. He wants us to really, really, really get to know him, who he is as a person. And one of the, you know, Mike is always saying when he's sharing, and anybody else who shares, it's like understanding who God is, who he's created us to be, and the depth of his love for us is life-changing. And that is the process we're on. But as we deepen that relationship, it also grows into we have to take some responsibility. Because if we are sons, then, and we are sons and daughters of the King, the owner and creator of the whole universe, then we have a role to play. So he wants us to live victoriously in this. He wants us to demonstrate everything that he's done for us to other people, because there are so many broken people out there. It's like, you know, we're broken and we're on a journey, but what about the people who've not even started a journey? There is brokenness wherever you look. And actually, that's not God's heart. God's heart weeps for people who are broken, because that's not the way we're designed to live. So we need to live victoriously, not only in health, but in all areas of our lives. And that's the process that we're on. That's the journey that we're on. That's the learning how to become sons. So the way to do that is to partner with him, so that we learn how to walk in our authority. We can have authority then. If we can walk in authority in our own lives, and we can then start to apply that wider. So why do we need to do this? As I said, it is a time of taking that heavenly authority, being able to apply it to us, and then spread it. Because he calls us to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Now, you know, we have been doing that. You know, we've learned that there are elements of that that we can do. But we are not walking in the fullness of everything. Because if we were, there wouldn't be any sick people out there. You know, there wouldn't be poor mental health. It's just like everywhere you look. You know, we would be well. And we're not well. Now, through this, now while I'm saying that we need to take responsibility, I'm not saying that God won't do miracles, because I believe he will do miracles. I believe that's actually what this is all about. Because if we can take responsibility for our own lives, and we can understand our heavenly authority, we can administer those miracles. We're the ones that are called to do those miracles. And although we've seen it in part, we're not seeing it in the fullness of what we need to see it. So during this time, we need to learn to be sons, to walk in responsibility, to show for him to learn how to hear what he's saying, for us to have breakthrough, so that we can bless others with healing, health and wholeness, and really demonstrate what his heart is for people. So now, I don't believe that we've caused our sickness. I don't believe that, although I've said we need to take some responsibility, I don't necessarily think that we've done it to ourselves, because, you know, it comes from the enemy. The enemy wants to rob, kill and destroy. However, I do think that we can make it worse. I certainly made it worse in my life. I got into agreement with the only thing that was make me feel better was sugar. And so, you know, it's like we can do things to exacerbate the problem. Our behaviour can really have an impact on it, even if we're not the ones originally that started it. Now, we do make poor choices sometimes, and those poor choices are sometimes a response to our circumstances. So I need to fix myself because nobody else is going to do it for me. I need to heal the pain. I need to mask the pain. I need whatever it might be. You know, quite often it is a response to our circumstances. But the good news is that Jesus came to give us life in abundance. And how many people are living in true abundance right now? Because I'm not. And when I say life in abundance, I don't mean necessarily financial abundance. I mean every sort of abundance. You know, living from that total security of who he is, knowing that whatever I need, he's got it for me. That and that includes everything. That complete peace of rest and wholeness. But we're not living in that. And I had made, you know, going back to my experience, I had made agreements with or accepted poor health, as because it was just like, well, you get sick, don't you? That's just what happens. But I don't, but you know, that's not God's plan for us. It's not his plan that we're sick. But it can happen from, you know, anything can cause sickness, or negative situation can cause sickness. So poor immune system, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, internalized trauma, stress, negative thinking, and even epigenetics. You know, the recent understanding of scientific side of things in terms of, you know, there are triggers in our genes that can set sickness and disease off that may have been dormant in previous, like in our generational line, but they can be triggered by environmental factors or situations, or, you know, that we might come across and make agreements with. So our experiences will have an impact on our health, because it's how we deal with them, it's how it makes us behave, it's how it makes us think, which then has a knock-on effect to our health. But it's not God's will. It is not how life is supposed to be. So his plan for us is wholeness. This is like, there's no other plan. You know, as far as he's concerned, you need to be whole. But we accept it as a part of, inevitable part of life, and it is not. But it does mean that our journey to health does need to start with changing our thinking, because our thinking dominates everything. We've covered a lot over the past few weeks, renewing of the mind, and because we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that is what he's calling us to do. What we think about and agree with will create our reality. So it could be that, you know, growing up, I thought I was rubbish. I thought that, you know, I was the eldest. I was, you know, it was a difficult family situation at times. I was loved by my parents, but it was still a lot of stress and anxiety and stuff. It was unhappy and chaotic growing up. And so I had come into agreement as a young person with, I need something to make myself feel better, because there's nothing in my family life or nothing in my family situation that's going to do that for me. And so that became my reality. I just perpetuated it. Because I agreed with it, it repeatedly came up, and then it becomes this cycle of, that's how I think, and so that's what I get, so that's how I think, and that's what I get. So it could be positive or negative. You know, if we think we can't, we can't. You know, and that was the thing when I, going back to looking at people stopping having sugar in their diet, at that time I was like, I can't do that. And I couldn't. I just couldn't. But when I started to believe and allow God to change me, I could, and I did, and I have. So today, I'd like to challenge your thinking about health, about your own health, actually, because it starts with us. We can't have authority over something in other people's lives, or even if it's something that is on our destiny, like I had, you know, it's been on my destiny to be involved with health and to be able to administer that. But, you know, if my health is poor, my authority is not going to extend to anyone else. You know, it won't be there, because I haven't got authority over myself, let alone anything else. So I want you to think for a moment about a sickness or illness or an ailment that you're sort of living with, that I guess gives you the most trouble. So whatever that might be, and then just imagine, what would life be like without it? If you didn't have that sickness or whatever it might be, what would life look like? How would it be different? What could you do if you didn't have it that you can't do now because you're limited by this illness? Because he wants you to live life without it. He wants you not to have it. So can we just, like, whilst I carry on, just imagine, just stretch your imagination a little bit and just think, rather than thinking it's just a part of who you are, because it's certainly not how you were created, what would life be like for you if you didn't experience it? Because God wants you to know that with Him, all things are possible. So good health is an expression of His love for us. For us to be able to walk and live healthy, full, whole lives is His heart. It's just his heart is to bless us, to live life in abundance, to not be walking in these sickness and diseases, lurching from one chaotic situation to another. And I'm not just talking about physical health, I'm talking about emotional health as well. He loves us so much and He does not want us to live like this. So I believe that as part of our maturing, as part of our deepening our relationship with Him, is about understanding how we can partner with Him to start changing those things that have held us where we are, and take some responsibility for our own health by working with Him. I am still on a journey with my health. I'm not standing up here from the point of view and saying, I've got it sussed, I've been through and I've got to the other side, because I'm still walking that journey. And but I can tell you, unreservedly, I feel so much better now than I have ever felt in my life, health-wise. And I know that there is more. I know that there is way more. So through this journey, through this process, what God has taught me is that there has to be willingness to start off with. We have to be willing to allow Him to change us. And initially, I was not willing. We must surrender to Him in the process. And what I mean by that is we must just say, okay, I will make a choice. Rather than, whereas I'm going back to when I started to barter with God and say, you know, maybe a couple years, or give it a couple years. I had to get to that place where I said, okay, I choose to do it your way. I won't do it my way. I won't put a limit on it. I won't say I'll only do it for a little bit. I will agree with you, and I will say that I will walk with you, and I will choose to do it your way. And I won't try and interpret it my way. I will just respond to you. So that we must allow Him to change us and our thinking, and understand that our actions have consequences on our health. It's like mine certainly did. You know, I really cannot probably get across to you how poorly I felt, but I was doing it to myself. And I had to get to that place where I was willing to make the change myself, because God doesn't impose His will on us. He comes when we invite Him and asks Him to do it, ask Him to change us so that we can do it His way. He won't say, I'm forcing you, because that's a dictatorial God. He just waits patiently for us to get to that stage where we get over ourselves enough to say, okay, I'll do it your way because my way's not working. And the other thing that He's taught me in this process is we can live in health. Okay. So, what I want to do is an activation. And I want to look at, if you're at that place where you're willing to allow God to show you where you can improve your health and what you can do to partner with Him, then we'll engage and maybe meet with Jesus and look at, actually, what is that I need to do? What's the first step I need to take? And if we're at a stage where we're not willing at the moment, we're not quite ready, then we can ask, why am I not ready? What are the blockages? Because it will be a soulish thing. Because our thinking, our thought process, our mind is in our soul, and how we think about it will be the blockage, will be the, I can't do that because, or I might make an excuse, or I might, could be anything. It could be, you don't understand, it's like this, and it's like, and I don't understand, but God does. So, if you could take a few moments, we're just going to engage heaven and have a chat with Jesus. I want you to imagine there's a door in front of you and that you open that door. And as you open the door, you see that Jesus is on the other side and he's waiting for you. And he wants to go for a walk. Now you can ask him if you're at that place where you want to make some changes. What is it that you need to partner with him for? What changes do you need to make? If you're not quite ready to ask that question of him, ask him, why aren't you ready? Why are you not willing? What might the blockages be? And listen to that still small voice. Very gentle, it might not be a very loud voice. Just open your heart and focus on him and listen to what he's telling you. I'd like to encourage you to pursue that some more. So keep going back and asking him what it is you can partner with him for, what you can believe for, and what journey he wants to take you on for your health. But I would like to invite you to be part of the solution for healing. As a church, we've been called to administer healing for people, and that's spiritual healing, emotional healing, and physical healing. And you know, we're all part of this church, we're all part of God's plan, and if we join together and we're all seeking health for ourselves, but seeking Him for health for ourselves, then we can change the atmosphere in this place so that it's an atmosphere where all things are possible, where actually we can overcome and become healed and whole. And then He can show us how that we can pass that on, and we can extend that to our families and to our friends, to people we meet on the street, and to whoever else He directs us to. So, yeah, please continue and to just to seek Him for that kind of understanding. And next week I'm going to share a bit more on the mental health side, so our thinking and a bit more about our minds and how that affects our physical health and our mental health. So thank you ever so much for listening and being patient with me. And I think we're going to worship in a moment. And whilst we're worshipping, I just ask you to engage and just continue that process, to open your hearts, because He is always talking to us all the time. And I'm sure that He wants to speak into our lives today.